Galatians 3, verses 6 to 9. The sons of faith. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Some false teachers had arisen in the churches in Galatia. They were teaching that a man must focus his life upon the rituals and upon the teachings of the Jewish religion, upon the works of the law, instead of focusing upon the finished work of Christ and Christ alone. Instead of focusing upon those that believe in the Christ, share fully in the blessings that God has promised. Simply stated, they were saying that a man had to be ritualized, that a man had to be circumcised, that a man had to join the church, that a man had to be baptized, that a man or woman had to give their life to keeping the law in order to be acceptable to God. Even though Peter plainly told us in the book of Acts, turn to Acts 15. Plainly told us in Acts 15, verses 8 through 11. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as He did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. They were saying the opposite of this. They were saying, no, it's ritual, it's law, it was their own works, it was their own effort before Jesus Christ. They focused upon what they had to do, opposed to what Christ had done. We see the faith of the Judaizers and the Apocrypha. This is the reason why that we reject the Apocrypha. You can find the faith of the Judaizers and the Apocrypha. I'm going to give you a little taste of that for you all that haven't read that before. In 1 Maccabees chapter 2, verses 50 through 58, this is what it says. This is why it's rejected. Now therefore, my sons, be zealous for the law and give your lives for the covenant of your fathers. Call to remembrance what acts that our fathers did in their time. So shall you receive great honor and an everlasting name. Very important. Verse 52. Was not Abraham found faithful in temptation, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness? That's what it says in the Catholic Bible, in the Apocrypha. Was not Abraham found faithful in temptation, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness? That's diametrically opposed to our text. 53. Joseph, in the time of his distress, kept the commandment and was made Lord over Egypt. See? Kept the commandment. Made Lord. Verse 54. Phinehas, our father, and being zealous and fervent, obtained the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Zealous and fervent. That's why he obtained it. Jesus, for fulfilling the word, was made a judge in Israel. Caleb, for bearing witness before the congregation, received the inheritance, received the heritage of the land. David, for being merciful, possessed the throne of an everlasting kingdom. Elias, for being zealous and fervent for the Lord, was taken up into heaven. Now you see, that's the faith of the Judaizers. That's what the Apocrypha teaches. Paul would have said, okay, let's go back to verse 52 there. Was not Abraham found faithful in temptation and was imputed unto him for righteousness? How was he declared righteous? before God in the first place? Was it because, as you hear the modern day Judaizers, now everybody said, oh, wow, that Apocrypha, that's bad stuff. But now the modern day Judaizers, they would say of Abraham, was it because he forsook his fatherland? Was it he left his family? Was it he left his friends back in Ur of the Chaldees? I've heard that said before. See? Abraham was justified because he did that. Was it because he accepted circumcision? He was circumcised. He observed the law. Was it because he was ready at the command of God to sacrifice his son, Isaac? Abraham had a lot of good works. No, Abraham was justified not on account of his outstanding virtues or his holy works, but solely, what does our text say? In Galatians 3, verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. As his faith was reckoned as righteousness long before anyone, before circumcision ever came about, even before the law, he was considered righteous. Or he had taken the first step in his long journey towards the promised land. He wasn't justified because he left Ur of the Chaldees. He believed God. Never forget that works are a mark of salvation. It's not the means of it. It's a mark of salvation. It's not the means. Abraham was justified before he left Ur of the Chaldees, before he was circumcised, before he offered up Isaac, before the law was even given. Abraham was declared as righteous. Faith. Faith is the supreme characteristic of the people of God, not law keeping. Faith. That is the supreme characteristic of the people of God. Instead of what Christ had done, these people concentrated upon themselves, turned in on themselves, upon what they could do to save themselves and make themselves acceptable to God. Not upon Christ and his saving power. They stressed the flesh, the physical, the natural, the strength of man as opposed to God. The world, the church, hates to hear that their wisdom is foolish, that their righteousness is unrighteous, and that their religion is false. Paul confronted them, told them their religion is false. The answer of Paul is forceful. Scripture, go back to Galatians 2. Galatians 3, I'm sorry. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who have faith are the sons of God. And the Scripture. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith. The answer of Paul to the Judaizers, our answer to Judaizers today, must be forceful. Scripture proves that a man is justified by faith and not by the works of the law. The Scripture proves it. Paul uses Scripture to fight the battle. You have to fight the battle with Scripture. The Bible says. How did Christ fight Satan? Turn to Luke 4. You're trying to fight a battle with everything but the Scripture. Luke 4, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 12. And the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It is written. This is how you are to fight the fight. This is how you are to fight the fight of faith. It is written. Look at verse 7. Therefore, if you will worship me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Verse 10 and verse 12. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. See, Satan even using the Scripture, perverting the Scripture. Verse 12. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You see how the battle of faith is fought? It is fought with the Scriptures. Turn to Ephesians 6. It's not fought with your reason, and it's not fought with your emotions. All right? It is fought with the Scriptures. But we're trying to fight the battle of faith with everything except what the Bible says to fight with. Ephesians 6 tells you plainly what you are to fight this fight with. Ephesians 6, 16 and 17. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Okay? The shield of faith, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation, put the helmet on, the assurance of your salvation, because he's going to attack your mind. He's going to attack your mind. No assurance, you're damned, you're losing your salvation, you'll never make it. You're to put on the helmet of salvation and what? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, it is written. The Bible says, the Scripture says, Paul's argument is from the Scripture. To be a son of faith, this is the way you fight the battle. Anything else, fighting the battle, you lost. You lost before you got onto the battlefield. If you're not going to fight the fight with it, it is written, stay home. Stay home, because you will get destroyed out on the field. Paul uses, first of all, the Scripture he uses to show that Abraham illustrates the truth in verses 6 and 7. Then he says the Scripture preached the gospel of faith to Abraham in verses 8 and 9. The Scripture. Scripture uses Abraham as an illustration. Scripture preached the gospel of faith to Abraham in verses 8 and 9. The Scripture says that the law puts man under the curse in verses 10 to 12. Scripture says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse, verses 13 and 14. The Scripture is what establishes the facts, not what you feel like, what your emotions tell you, what your friends tell you, what your reason tells you, what the preacher tells you. The Scripture, for it is written that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Anything else but that is heresy. And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him, accounted to him, the Gidsamite, to his account for righteousness. The Scriptures. The sons of faith use the Scripture to battle our foes, to combat our enemies, and to tear down strongholds. Scripture. 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 Why do you think one of the main things that Satan wants you to just put that away and leave it there? I mean, who would have went to Vietnam and ran out on the field with a gun with no bullets? And that's what you're doing. If you don't have this deep down in your soul, you are dead. Scripture uses Abraham to illustrate the truth that justification is by faith and faith alone. Abraham, he held a unique position in the Jewish nation, as I just read you the Apocrypha. They held him very highly. He was the founder of the nation. He was the man whom God commanded to be a witness to the other nations of the world, a witness to the only living and true God. God had appeared to Abraham and commanded him to leave his home, to leave his friends, to leave his employment, to leave his country. God made great promises to Abraham. Abraham would become the father of a new nation, and all nations of the earth would be blessed by his seed. Turn to Genesis 12. You have a great God that makes promises. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who curse you, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. If you are a son of faith today, that's why you are a son of faith. Because of a promise made to Abraham all of those thousands of years ago. Because God said, I will do this. Not because Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. That was just his actions followed what he believed. That's why he left. Turn to chapter 15 of Genesis. You have to know why you're saved. What is the reason behind your being saved? chapter 15 of Genesis. After these things, verses 1 through 6, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. What did he account to him? Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. He said, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." God promised Abraham himself. "I am your exceedingly great reward. I am your more gain." It means to rescue, to compass about, to deliver you. I am him. I came to make this promise to you. See? That is what he's promising. Look at verse 6. Most of us get wrapped up in verse 6 there because we like to get ourselves involved. "And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." You heard many people talk about that text. See? Abraham believed God. Therefore, he was counted righteous. See? See that? Abraham. He's righteous. Why? Because he believed? That's the way it's interpreted by most people. Because he believed God. But look closely at that. "And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." He believed in the Lord and he accounted it. Well, what is it? It is a pronoun. It is a pronoun. A pronoun must point to a noun. A pronoun does not point to a verb. A pronoun points to a noun. What's the noun there? You got two nouns. You got Abraham and he believed the Lord. So is Abraham the noun? Is the it Abraham? Can't be that. And if it is a pronoun, it can't point to believed, because believed is a verb. It points to God. That's what was credited to Abraham. God's own righteousness is what was credited to him. God was going to be his great reward, that he was going to be the shield. That's what's credited. See, it shows you how subjective we are. That we interpret that, oh, well, see, that's Abraham's faith that was credited for righteousness. And a simple thing of grammar right there shows you it cannot be. It's not noun, noun, noun. It's not Abraham is a noun, believed is a noun, God is a noun, and it is a pronoun. You got to have a verb in there. Give me a verb somewhere. The verb is him. He believed. But God is the object. God is the one. You see? He completely and unquestionably trusted God and took God at his word. After trusting God, what happens then? As I mentioned earlier, then his actions follow what he believed. Look at Hebrews 11. You believe first, and then your actions follow what you believe. It proves what you believe. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would afterwards receive as inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Okay? That's when your life begins. First, you believe God. You believe God what? That he's your great portion, that he's your reward, that he's your deliverer, that he has credited you as righteous. And then you will begin a life of faith. Not the other way around. Not, well, he left there the Chaldees, and he offered up Isaac, and he was circumcised, and he did all these things. Abraham simply believed. It was not Abraham's keeping of the law that pleased God. In fact, the law had not yet even been given. Look at Galatians 3:18. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Listen, if you say that Abraham believed God and that that belief was righteousness, then that's a law. You're saying his believing was a law as opposed to a promise. It's just believing the promises that God has made, that God would give him a new life, a new nation, with a new people. Abraham and his seed were the only ones to whom God gave the promises. Do you know that the promise is not even necessarily given to you? The promise was given to Abraham and his seed. Look at Galatians 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. It's because of your union with Christ. These promises are made to Abraham and to his seed. His seed being Christ, and you're united to Christ, and you share in all of his blessings, all of the promises, everything that has been given to Christ. You're in Galatians 3, look at verse 29. Now, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise, by being an heir with Christ, being so united to Christ that God sees Christ. That's all he sees. He doesn't see you. He sees Christ. Turn to Romans 4. Show you what was promised to Abraham. Romans 4. 20-25. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Notice, when he was fully convinced that what he had promised, he also was able to perform. Who? God. Verse 22, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Here you got this same verse again. You have it over in Genesis, accounted to him for righteousness. Here you have it over in Romans 4, accounted unto him for righteousness. Now verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us, brethren, for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him. See, who believe in God, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and look at this, and was raised because of our justification. Christ was raised from the dead because of our justification, that God has been pleased with the sacrifice. He's pleased to bless you. But let's turn it around on our works. The sons of faith, they rejoice in this fact. The sons of faith read this and say, glory to God, this is unbelievable. I'm blessed like that because of the promise that was made. And that is it. Not because of all this law keeping or failure to keep law. No other information whatsoever was given. God did not identify the country, nor tell Abraham where he was to go. God doesn't identify all these things that he tells you to do. He just tells you to do them. And by faith, you embrace that. You get the principles from the scripture. You see them there. All of the things that are said for you to do. And by faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you say, yes, Lord. Yes. The same as Abraham, even though you don't see it. Neither did God tell Abraham when his wife Sarah would bear the seed. He came to him and said, your wife, I know she's looking a little beat up at 90, and it ain't looking good for you. But that seed is going to come through her. I'm going to bless you through her. And you got to admit, didn't look good. And this is why You're always so beat down. God's promised you things, promised you. And it's like, I don't believe them. I just don't believe them. You look at all the 90-year-old Sarahs in your life, and you're like, ain't going to happen. But the sons of faith say, yes, sir. Yes, you promised me. You promised me, Lord. You promised me that you would never leave me nor forsake me. You promised me that simple faith that if I believe in Christ alone, and trust Him, you'll save me. These are all promises God makes. And a simple faith. This is what the life of faith means. See, it's not all this, I did this and I did that, and therefore God does this. God made a simple promise, and all Abraham had to go on was that simple promise. What else did Abraham have to go on? Nothing. Simple promise. That is the sheer word of God. That is all that you and I have to go on. What else do you have to go on but this Bible? What your reason is telling you, what your emotions are telling you, what else do you have to go on? Are you basing your eternity on but this Bible? This is all that you and I have to go on, the Word of God alone. This is what a son of faith believes. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's what the Scripture says. That's a promise made by God Almighty. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household. You either believe that, or you don't believe that. Simple faith. This is what the sons of faith do. They see what God has promised in the Bible, and by faith, they embrace that. Abraham simply had to believe God. No works whatever were involved when Abraham believed God. Look at Genesis 12, 4 and 5 again. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's wife and all their possessions that they had acquired and the people whom they had acquired, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. All he did was simply follow what God had said for him to do. The proof that Abraham really believed God was that he did what God had said. You said, heard me say dozens of times, your actions betray what you believe. You say you believe this, and your actions show what you believe. Not beforehand, he sees your actions, and therefore you believe. You believe, and by your walk, you can see what that person believes. Turn to Romans 4. These texts are not even brought out today. They're totally ignored because they... Now, you heard me say about reason. You tell me if this is reasonable. And not that you shouldn't logically deduce this, and check this all out. But you tell me if this is reasonable. Romans 4, verse 3. Here we go. We got it again. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now you tell me that verse 4 makes sense, that this is reasonable. Okay? Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. To the one who does not work. You got to believe that is not... Is that reasonable? Would anybody here say that's reasonable? That seems to encourage deadbeats, don't it? To the one who does not work. That is totally opposed to any religious system on the planet. Right? Every religious system on the planet, including the majority of Christianity, will say what? You work, you believe on him, and then he justifies the godly. And you got to just leave off his faith is credited for righteousness. Now the Scripture says that. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. That somehow God is indebted to you. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. How many of you all really believe that? In your heart of hearts, don't even raise your hand. Do you really believe by faith that God justifies the one who does not work? I realize this. Paul, who wrote that, was the greatest worker in the Bible. He did more for the kingdom than anybody. And yet here's the same guy saying that. Now why would he say something like that? And then look what it produced. Why did it produce that? See, because if by faith you understand that, then you will graciously serve the Lord to the death. You won't be a deadbeat. You're thinking that's encouraging you to be a deadbeat, and it's just the opposite. You will fall so much in love with God that you will lay down your life. Now, to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Look at verse 13. For the promise of the same chapter 4, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The righteousness that comes through faith. Let me give you an illustration. People get wrapped up on this is my faith. All right? Perfect illustration here. I got Jimmy's prop right up here. All right? I want to show you what faith is today. All right? See that guitar? Is that doing anything over there right now except looking lovely? That's doing nothing. It's an instrument. It's doing nothing. Can't do nothing in and of itself. But now, if one comes to that instrument, okay, and starts playing through that instrument, then you will have beautiful music. See? That's what faith is. Faith is just an instrument, whereas God works through that instrument and he produces good works. That's it. The credit is that you're a guitar laying in the corner. That's your claim to fame. You're the guitar laying in the corner. You're an instrument. See, through faith, by faith, not because of faith. See, people think it's because of faith. It's by faith, through faith. That guitar lays there until picked up by God. That's what it says. Not calling Jimmy God, of course. That just lays there. Just like us. God picks us up. And then he plays to us. What does it say in Ephesians 2:10? Turn it. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God regenerated you, put faith inside you, turned your will, turned your desires, and now he's picking you up as a lovely guitar, playing a lovely song. And you're basically trying to take the guitar out of tune, turn it upside down, bust the holes, and everything else. And God's just like, I want to play this lovely song for you. And that's it. If he had not believed God, Abraham, he would not have left his home or his employment. I would say to you, what are most of you all doing here today? You must believe something or you won't be here. I'm sure it ain't for the ambiance. Okay? Your actions are betraying your beliefs. All right? Not that coming to church today saves you. But what I'm saying is, you see how the actions seem to be indicating. It seems to be, what are you here for? You want to be blessed by God. You want a word from God. Please, Lord, build me up. Give me something, Lord. You see, this is how faith responds. This is the way faith acts. Abraham would not have left his surroundings and friends, his meaningful relationships, and his personal attachments. Like many of you, your families hate your guts now. Right? Because now you tell them they're sinners, they're going to go to hell, they got to get saved, they got to do this, they got to do the other thing. Why are you doing that now? Your actions are betraying your beliefs. Abraham left his surroundings, left his friends, left his relationships, left his personal attachments. Faith is willing to do that. All of these things is a result of faith. The fact that he did as God asked was the evidence that he believed the promise of God. See? All of these things that have taken place in your life is the evidence. Those who are of faith are the true sons of Abraham. The person who believes God is the person who receives the promises. You receive the promises. Look at Galatians 3. And this is why I prayed in the beginning, if you're beat down, you're heavy laden, you're burdened, believe God. Believe God that He has blessed you. But it's this whole merit system trip with God. He's just got me on this treadmill, and I got to earn His love and earn His face to shine on me, and I'm trying to earn this, I'm trying to earn that. And He's saying, believe me. Believe me. Galatians 3, verse 9. So then those who are of faith, those who are of faith are blessed with believing in Abraham. Does it say anything about law keeping in there, merit system? Those who are of faith are blessed with believing in Abraham. Look at verse 22. But the scripture has confined all unto sin that the promise by faith in Christ might be given to those who believe. Faith in Christ. Verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ. Not working yourself up. But if you embrace this, you will be worked up. You will pour out your life. That's the whole point that Paul is going to get into about you have been delivered from the law. Paul argues that neither heritage, your nationality, neither merit, neither works, neither the law, nor the rules of the law have anything to do with the promises of God. Once you add those, the promises of God are out the window. Once you add one thing to that, the promises are out the window. Look at verses 6 and 7 of chapter 3. Just as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. That was the whole point of the split with the Catholic Church. They will not set alone. Those that are of faith are sons of God. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith, not faith and one thing, faith. Faith alone are the sons of Abraham. That is it. The true sons of Abraham are those who believe God. Any person of any nation, in fact, God's promised that a nation would be born to Abraham. See, this is not just a Jewish thing. He said, in you all the nations would be blessed, and that nation would be a promise of an eternal nation, not an earthly nation. Not saying the Lord doesn't have a deal with Israel, that He's still not going to do something with physical, literal Israel. But the promise that Abraham received, and you shall all the nations be blessed, is talking about an eternal nation. Look to Galatians 6, 15. We get away from this too. We focus on national Israel. Well, the other side of the camp is the Lord's done with national Israel. There's no Israel. Galatians 6, 15 and 16. For in Christ Jesus, see, notice again, in Christ, because of our union with Christ, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. See, with this new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, what rule? Neither circumcision, neither uncircumcision, neither any works, but being a new creation, being in Christ, as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God, the eternal nation, the eternal Israel. This eternal nation is to be of another world, of another dimension of being, this spiritual dimension. This is where your eyes are to be, just as the real, the spiritual, eternal nation is more real than this physical dimension that you see. Well, we don't believe that. There's supposed to be one distinction. Every citizen in that nation is to be a believer, one who has believed God and His Word. Not because he was a Jew, not because he was a Greek, not because he was circumcised, because he was uncircumcised. This is exactly what this passage is saying. They who believe are the children of Abraham, be a Jew, be a Gentile. The children what? Of God's promise. They are to be blessed, along with faithful Abraham. They are to be the citizens of God's kingdom. The new heavens, the new earth. Turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:10. Abraham, for he waited for the city which has foundations, who builder and maker is God. That's what Abraham waited for. Look at verse 16. But now they desire a better. That is what? A heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That is what the children of faith, the sons of faith, look forward to. What did Peter tell us? Look at 2 Peter 3. Your eyes is on your job, your car, your relationships, your house, your walk. Your eyes is on everything but what God has promised. 2 Peter 3, 10 through 14. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. What are you laying up here for? Whatever's here is going to be burnt up. Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, are you of the we? According to His promise, what do we look for? A new heavens and a new earth, and what? Which righteousness dwells. See? That's what's credited to your account. God, His righteousness. What does it say in 1 John? Turn to 1 John. To show you what's been credited to your account, that it's just too mind-blowing, or we just read it too much, or we really don't believe it. 1 John, chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him. I mean, you're telling me that you can comprehend that? But that makes sense to you? To me, that is whack. And only by faith can you embrace that and live a life in light of that. Realize what that says. When He is revealed, we shall be like Him. When you see all the sin in your life, all the hatred and bitterness and gossiping and murder and stealing and lying and cheating and lust and on and on and on. That Bible says by faith you are to believe that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. How in the world do you think a person is going to act in their life that really believes? That's why I always say your actions betray your beliefs. You really believe that you shall be like Him? You don't believe that. You act too wickedly. You do not believe that. And you definitely don't meditate on it. You don't by faith embrace that. We shall be like Him. That's a son of faith says yes. And by faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he lives his life in light of that. And he looks for the heavenly kingdom that says yes, when that day comes, I will be as God in His communicable attributes. Not his incommunicable attributes. You will never be omnipotent. You will never be sovereign. You will never be omnipresent. But it says you will be like him. In what way? In the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You will be like him. A child of faith, a son of faith, sees that, embraces that, looks to that. How do those of the family of faith come to know these facts? How do you come to know these facts? Scripture preached the gospel of faith to Abraham. Go back to Galatians 3. By the Bible. By faith in what God has said in his word. Scripture preached the gospel of faith to Abraham. What's it saying? Verse 8 of chapter 3. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand. Scripture preached the gospel of faith to Abraham. To Paul, the scripture was the word of God. The very voice of God himself. Therefore, Paul could just as easily say that scripture spoke to Abraham as he could that God spoke to Abraham. When that Bible says to you, and you shall be like him, that's God Almighty that said that to you. That ain't the preacher up here. I showed you what the scripture said. That's the same as God Almighty himself, just like, oh, I wish I was like Abraham. God came to him. God came far greater to you. Far greater to you. But you don't believe it. God himself, the scripture I'm saying to you says, and you shall be like him in that day. It's the same as God Almighty spoke to you. Paul's high view of Scripture. Paul's high view of Scripture should be a strong rebuke to many today. You who play around with the Scripture, be warned. It is not a loving manner. It is not a loving matter. It is a wicked sin. To play with the Word of God, to play with the Scripture. You're playing with the very words of Almighty God. Notice Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Not obey the truth. See? They got away from the Scripture. They got away from it is written. They got away from but God has said. And they got away from the gospel. Galatians 3:8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying. And the scripture, foreseeing that God. MacArthur says that personifying the scripture was a common Jewish figure of speech. Turn to John 7:38. That's what Paul is doing there. That was a common Jewish figure of speech. John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's Jesus Christ saying that. See? The Scriptures. See? Personifying there? Look at verse 42, same chapter there. Has not the Scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David, from the town of Bethlehem? The Scripture. Because Scripture is God's word, when it says that, God speaks. Personifying means to represent an inanimate object as a person. When it's saying the Scripture says, that's what personifying means. An inanimate object, the Scripture, is as a person. It's as God has said. Scripture declared the gospel of faith long before Christ ever came. It says, the Scriptures, what? Go back there to 3:8 of Galatians. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham. Long before Christ ever came, Scripture declared the gospel to Abraham. Preached the gospel. Look at what it says in the verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel. How you hear people throw around the gospel. The gospel. I'm preaching the gospel. He's preaching the gospel. If you don't preach justification by faith, you are not preaching the gospel. You see what it says in verse 8? And the scripture foreseeing that God would what? Justify the nations, put the nations out, justify by faith, preach the gospel. That's the gospel. That God would justify the nations by faith. Not justify the nations by faith and by their good works and making promises and breaking promises and making vows and doing everything else. Justified by faith. That's the gospel. As stated earlier, God told Abraham that he would accept him and he would bless him. Abraham believed what? The promise of God. What was that promise? Well, let's look. Galatians 3 tells us what he believed. Look at verse 8. The spiritual promise of salvation to all nations. Look at verse 13 and 14. Abraham's faith concerned redemption. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. This is what Abraham believed. Jesus delivered us from the bondage of sin at the cost of his own life. Christ said, Abraham, what? Rejoiced. How did Abraham rejoice to see his day? Turn to John 8:56. Do you remember that Christ said that? Did you ever wonder why he rejoiced? 8:56. Well, let me show you from 55. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. What? And he saw it and was glad. How is that possible? Because God preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. He knew about Christ. Christ believed in the coming of Christ. Specifically, look at, go back to Galatians 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. Abraham had the gospel preached before him, the Messiah. Okay, he didn't know his name was going to be Yeshua HaMashiach. He didn't know his exact name. It says he knew of Christ. Abraham did not know his name, but he was looking forward to the coming of this one individual. And it was through the channel of his faith, not because of his faith, by faith, through faith. Faith in Jesus that God declared him to be a justified person. Those who are of faith are declared righteous with Abraham. Abraham was justified by believing God. And it was all an act of God. That's why I stressed the point about Abraham believed God and it was credited as righteousness. Because there's a majority of people that will focus on the fact that, oh, this is my faith. And that's the one act. Man is saved through faith, believing in Christ. By grace alone, through faith alone, on account of Christ alone. This is what the sons of faith believe. God is perfect. He's perfectly righteous. No man can achieve perfection. That's why the Lord told them, be as perfect as your Father is in heaven. To show them you ain't got a chance. No man can achieve perfection. Therefore, no man can live in the presence of God unless first, this is what was credited to your account. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. This is the only way that you will be in the presence of God. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. Specifically 21, but let me show you 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, okay? If you are going to be an ambassador of Christ, as though God were pleading to us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. All right? If you're going to be his ambassador, This is what you tell people. This is the gospel. This is what it means to be justified by faith. For he made him, God the Father, made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. In order what? Now, only faith can comprehend this. can accept this. Only faith. That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now look at your life. Do you really actually believe, or are you going to tell me that you believe that you're going to be the righteousness of God? Is there anything about you that would lead you to that conclusion? Except if you're fooling yourself. Only faith can believe that promise. That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And once again, I'm going to say, your faith in that will determine your actions. If you're going to become the righteousness of God in Him, what kind of life do you think that you should live now in light of that? Should we eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die? Should we kick back with our heels up and just say, yeah, I'm saved, I'm justified? No. Anybody that comprehends that, that believes that, they'll pour out their life, just like Christ poured out His life. And they'll say, yes, Lord, verse 20, that's what I want to be. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. You understand? When you comprehend by faith that promise that you're going to become the righteousness of God, you will be an ambassador for Him. And you will want to represent Him in the best possible light. An ambassador wants to represent his country in the best possible way. What would you think if the ambassador of Saudi Arabia came into the White House and he looked like a bumpy? If he looked like a bum with all kind of rags on and dirty, filthy, didn't wash for a couple of years, food hanging out of his mouth, all disheveled, everything like that. What kind of an ambassador would you think that was? You would say, I don't think that guy even believes he's an ambassador for Saudi Arabia. Or would you expect to see that ambassador in a glorious kind of way? Because he's representing his country. Now, one that believes that they will become the righteousness of God, do you not think that they would act in a manner? In a manner, even though we carry around the principle of indwelling sin in this body of death, do you not think that if you are a son of faith and that you believe that you will become the righteousness of God, that concept is beyond belief. But God has promised us that. And faith says, yes, I believe I will become the righteousness of God. Yes, by faith I believe that I will be like Him. I will be as Christ. Somebody that believes they will be as Christ, do they lay in the pig pen? Or do they lay in the pig pen because they don't believe that they shall be as Christ when He appears? That they don't believe that they shall be as the righteousness of God? But notice, in Him, once again, going back to our union with Christ, it's only because of Him. God, in foreknowledge, set His special love upon you. Then He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. Then He effectually called you through His Word and Spirit out of that state of sin and death in which we are by nature. All of us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. He raised you from the dead to grace and salvation in Christ. Faith embraces that. He enlightens your mind spiritually and savingly to understand the things of God now. And by faith, day by day, you embrace these things. The Sons of Faith opens up that Bible. Just what I read to you about. Become the righteousness of God in Him. And God takes away our hearts of stone and He gives us a heart of flesh. And He renews our wills. And by God's almighty power, determining that which is good. Turn to Titus 3. Titus 3, verses 4 and 5. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared. Look at verse 5, underline that. Believe it. Embrace it. Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. This is the battle cry of the sons of faith. Notice what it says. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. The sons of faith say, this is true, Father. The sons of faith say, Father, we can never approach you. For everything we do is tainted with sin, Father. Our prayers, our preachings, our love, everything we do, Father, is tainted. The battle cry of the sons of faith say, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but what God Almighty has done. Let me end with a conversation that Donald Barnhouse had with a man about the gospel. The conversation had gone on for some time, and the man seemed to be in total darkness. Finally, he said, almost in a tone of desperation, but what does God want? Have you said that? But what does God want? Tell me, what does God want? Barnhouse replied in what he believed was the given insight of the moment. More than anything else, God wants to be believed. That's what God, you want to know what God wants from you today? I want to tell you what he wants. He wants you to believe him. More than anything else, God wants to be believed. There was a moment of dawning wonder in the man's face. And then he said, you know, I think I see you after all. The honor of God is involved. It's about the honor of God, about his righteousness and his love that he had for sinful men and women. And we strut around and we think that somehow we're going to approach God in our own stinking works. The son of faith says, no, God forbid. God forbid that we should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. Stop boasting in your flesh, man. Stop the games. Do you believe in Christ as your Savior? Abraham believed what God had revealed to him concerning Christ. And the righteousness of Christ was credited to Abraham as if it was his own. Just like it says in the text. You became the righteousness of God in him. In him. Adam believed it. Jacob believed it. Moses believed it. David believed it. John the Baptist believed it. All of them believed the same thing. No one has ever been saved in any other way. And if you try to come to Christ any other way, you shall be damned. Any other way. I'm asking you all right now in this room that's weeping. Who is causing you to weep right now? Is it the preacher? Did I just kind of stroke you the right way? Did I hit the right button? Or is the Holy Spirit saying, this is what it is. Now stop it. Have I said anything to you guys for the last 4 or 5 years except give God all the glory? Have I said anything else to you guys? Give God the glory. That's what a son of faith says.